without warning. They struck without mercy.
What the hell are you doing in here?
The roadbusters assaulted me, sir.
Meet the masters of etiquette.
Everybody thinks bikers are just drunken, greasy dope heads.
I see you haven't been inside at the party yet.
Come here.
Mm. Hi. The masters of willpower.
Just gonna have us one beer, that's all.
The masters of great taste. Meet the masters of menace.
Well, I just got back from jumping the Mayan pyramids.
The public has been terrorized by these motorcycle hoodlums long enough.
Why don't you go catch a serial killer?
They are upright citizens. Admirers of speed. And beauty.
I sold my car to get a boob job.
No! Those look very natural, don't they?
Nice work.
Wow.
And totally menacing dudes.
This is good stuff. Fight!
They are...
All right, get ready, man. Here they come.
The masters of menace. If they weren't so dumb, they'd be dangerous. The masters of menace.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I am your host, Scott White, and I am joined once again from my friends from the North. Introduce yourselves, young men.
I'm Derek, but you can call me Squishy.
And I already have a nickname. I'm Mean Mark.
All right. And we are looking, this time, we are looking at the 1990 movie Masters of Menace. Starring David Rasheen, it has Dan Aykroyd and John Candy and Jim Belushi and George Wendt, and this movie
all
is
of
terrible.
Them in cameo roles. Yeah,
all of those in cameo roles.
Yeah, Scott, I gotta say, the way you sold this one, I don't know. I felt like I had the rug pulled out, man.
This movie has a 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how.
I have no idea
68%.
How.
68%. Well, so this is just a blind pick. I knew nothing about this movie. I was just looking for stuff that Dan has been in, and he was in this movie, and it was free on YouTube, so I thought, let's do this movie. It's a terrible movie.
And it's about a bunch of bikers.
I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's a nothing burger.
There's nothing.
There's nothing to it.
This movie is immediately forgettable. Immediately forgettable.
Like, are we supposed to be cheering for the bad guys?
I guess so, but they're not. So the gist of this movie is this biker gang. I guess they're in California?
Yep. I think so.
I think so.
This biker gang, there's this prosecutor that's after this biker gang. He feels that if he puts this biker gang away in jail, he'll be able to be elected DA. So at the beginning of this movie, these bikers all pull up in front of the courthouse. You know, there's a bunch of charges against him by the prosecutor. And the judge puts him on 3 years probation. It's like, if you're good for 3 years, you can't leave the county. If you leave this county, you will be immediately thrown in jail. And that's part of their three-year probation. And they've hired this new lawyer. This movie had a lot of recognizable faces. It's like, I know these people from somewhere. It's
yeah.
Like, and they're like, fine, okay, we'll do, you know, we're on probation. And then, you know, the prosecutor is like, this is a combination. I recently did a podcast about evolution.
I listened to that one.
And that is, to me, that's a beat for beat. It's like a remake of Ghostbusters. To me, this movie is a combination of Animal House and the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. I was thinking Porky's on Wheels. That's what I was thinking.
Scott, you read my mind. I was just about to say this movie is like if the characters from Animal House left school and started a biker gang. That's how it feels.
Like, especially with the DA constantly going, you know. biker gang. You know?
Yeah, he's the stuffy old dean that has to get these yahoos in line so he doesn't look bad.
He uses the phrase, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible 80s line.
This movie, what I can't believe about this movie, so we've been running down the cast, right? Aykroyd, Candy, Belushi, George Wendt, Catherine Bach, Daisy Duke herself is in this movie.
Daisy Duke.
It stars.
Is that who she is?
Yeah, that's Daisy Duke. The Sledgehammer. Yeah, I don't know if Scott, if you remember the old show Sledgehammer.
Yes, Sledgehammer.
That's our lead guy.
That's our lead guy, and then David Landreau, the guy, he played Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley.
Squiggy on Laverne, exactly. So a whole bunch of recognizable faces, none of which you'll find on IMDb. Their IMDb, it's M-O-M. M-O-M, Masters of Mayhem, and it has the writers listed. I don't know if, Derek, if you want to update IMDb, but...
No, I've got the cast list here.
Really? I couldn't find the listing.
Where's one of them? The one that plays the sheriff, George Buck Flower. You know what movie George he's Buck. Famously in?
I thought he looked familiar,
he's in a lot of John Carpenter movies.
He's
the drunk in Back to the Future.
He's the bum in Back to the Future.
He's the bum.
Crazy drunk drivers.
Oh.
Yes. He's Red the Drunk. There were lots of
he's guys. Also in They Live. He is the bum that sells out to the aliens.
Yeah, McClane from Total Recall is in this movie.
Wow, really?
The young lawyer. He's from the Police Academy movies.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought I recognized him. I didn't recognize the main DA there, the one who's running for office.
I didn't recognize him. No. At first I thought he was the blonde guy from Animal House, Greg Marmalard. But it's not him. He just looks like him. But
Horny Hank, you know, too. Horny Hank has been a voice actor for years.
Can you link me that? Because I checked IMDb and I couldn't find it. I found just a blank page with the writers' names listed. And that's it.
Oh, yeah.
No synopsis, nothing.
David Rashi. How do you pronounce his name? Rashni? Rashi?
I don't know how to. I never actually heard it spoken.
David, John Candy, George Wendt, Jim Belushi, these are all Second City people. So obviously, Rashi. I don't know if the director, writer is connected with Second City and somehow, but these are all Second City alumni.
Yeah. So I got the sense throughout this that someone was just calling in some favors. Or just calling on the old buddies, come on down for a weekend, we'll shoot a few scenes and then call it.
Carol Ann Susie, which is Candy Coletti. She's the other biker chick in the gang.
Yep.
She plays Mrs. Wallowitz on Big Bang Theory. She's the voice of Mrs. Wallowitz.
Oh.
The one that passed away.
She passed away? Oh, that's her? Oh.
That's her. As a younger woman.
There's a lot of Squiggies. Quality actors.
Oh. Yeah.
This is one of those things where it's...
The script just lets them down.
There really is no script. It's just...
It's just a bunch of things that happen, yeah.
Exactly. It's the script is just to get from one wacky adventure to another.
Yep.
And it doesn't... there's no traveling montage. They leave frame in one city, they enter frame in another one.
Yeah, they take off on their bikes, and then...
Now, they do ride their own bikes. You can see some scenes.
Yes.
So they are riding their own bikes. So the gist of the movie is one of their gang members, Jim Belushi, has invented this new bike that's going to revolutionize bike travel, revolutionize motorcycle.
Drag bike racing. Yeah.
Right, yeah, racing, yeah.
Gypsy, this is the suit that got us off.
I want to shake your hand. Where is it? Where? Thank you for taking care of my brothers.
Get me out of this thing, will you, Brad? Here you go.
There's not another bike like this in the whole world.
Nope, she's top fuel. Yeah, she's a Harley-Davidson, 117 cubic inches. Burns 100% nitromethane, fuel injected. This baby, goes 0 to 170 in a quarter under 8 seconds. Two-speed training, lock-up clutch.
Very nice.
Yeah, you know what's special about it, Walls?
No, I don't.
Huh?
No.
Fuel injector right here, I designed it myself. Now, I get some big money behind me, big money sponsor. I'm going to make the Roadmasters famous.
I'm proud of you, Gibbs. Really.
I love you, Chris.
Love you too, Gypsy.
No, I love you.
No, but I love you just as much.
No, but I love you.
Yeah, but come on. Can't. I'm sorry, you okay, man? Okay, it's all right.
I'll tell you what pisses me off. You know what pisses me off?
Bad weather?
No. Nobody takes drag bike racing seriously. There's no TV coverage. None. No sponsors. Nothing. You know why? Because everybody thinks bikers are just drunken, greasy dopeheads.
Oh, I see you haven't been inside at the party yet.
He takes his bike out for a ride, and he crashes and he blows it up. And now they want to take him to Las Vegas to take his body to his parents, because as a biker gang, that's what you do. You take care of your brothers.
They're all standing outside and they're watching him. He's going to ride his bike. And so everyone's standing outside. He rides down. There's a squealing and then there's a big explosion. And then somebody in the background goes, "What happened?" What happened? You watched it. He exploded. Like, that's what happened.
This probably will be a short podcast because there's not really a lot to talk about.
There's a few things I could mention.
There's a few. So the gang is like, okay, we're gonna take his bot, and for some reason, the lawyer that got him off is this young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed lawyer. He's not like a biker at all. The head biker, David Rashi, however you pronounce his name, he invites
Buddy.
Him over to his house for a party. Buddy. So he comes with a stuffy girlfriend. She's offended and she leaves. And the lawyer's like, "My wallet was in the glove compartment."
Yeah.
I thought that would come back somehow. It's like they made such a big deal. It's like, my wallet's... So I thought it would come back like, well... I'm a lawyer. Can you prove it? No, but that never comes back.
He does say he'll pay the fine later on, but
how?
I don't know. He does, I guess. I don't know.
So they start on this journey to take the body of
Wizard.
Belushi,
Wizard. Was it Wizard? No.
No, Gypsy.
No, Gypsy. No.
Gypsy. To take Gypsy back to his home. The prosecutor gets wind of this. And he sends his second in command to follow them. So he is spying on them.
Well, he was spying on them from minute one, like just right after the trial, because of the judge's terms, they want to catch him doing anything illegal so that way they can get him thrown in jail. And somehow, for some reason, this DA thinks this is going to be the key. Like, he's going to ride his whole campaign. I'm like, remember the road hogs? I mean, Roadmasters. Sorry, that's an ongoing joke. Remember those guys?
The Road Warriors.
Those two. That's the running joke. They get called Road Hogs, Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently this, by saying, "I put these guys in jail, elect me to," what the hell is he going for?
He's going for district attorney.
He's going for the DA, yeah. He's a prosecutor.
Attorney general, wasn't it? Because later.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. It is attorney.
General, I don't know the difference between those two, other than they have different words. That's about
rank.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
The thing is, this is not an intimidating gang. They're supposed to be intimidating, but David Rashi, Buddy. I'm just going to call him.
He's
their leader. And he doesn't come across as intimidating at all.
No, they come across as lovable goofballs, and that's I guess that's why, because they're breaking the law, they're stealing from people, they're hurting people, they're beating up people, and they're the good guys.
I mean, they are.
1990 was a different time, but
they're not likable. You're supposed to root for them, but they are just not a likable group of people. They're supposed, I think, like you said, I think we're supposed to see them as lovable goofballs, but they don't come off that way. They come off as jerks and people who steal and who hurt other people.
Somehow lovable douchebags.
Like when they go to the party, the lawyer shows up and he's like, okay, well, you're not supposed to be breaking the law. And he's like, what do you want? Beer? You want wine? You want some meth? I can get you some meth. And I'm like, fucking right out of the gate, he's offering the meth. And he's like, oh, you can't be doing drugs here because, you know, you're on thing. He's like, relax. And that's the thing is, like, Buddy is like the Rob Van Dam of biker gangs. He's like so just chill and relaxed. He's like, he's like Cheech and Chong. He's just, whatever. Yeah. You know, Dave's
he's
not Cheech here, man.
And,
relax.
He's Cheech and Chong combined. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But, like, nothing phases him. He doesn't get riled up about anything.
He always
even
feels
when
it's
he's
work
shot,
out.
He doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't panic. So it's just weird. It's a weird character for that movie. It looks like he's like too old for the gang. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right. But that's sort of the
Idea.
That's sort of the idea. But you're right. Yeah, he is too old. They're all too old to be doing what they're doing.
They are. Yes.
So they're heading off to Vegas to bring Gypsy to his parents.
Yep.
And for some reason, the lawyer goes along. I don't know why.
Yeah, so it's so weird how these two attorneys, their careers live and die by the actions of this biker gang. Like this young, hungry lawyer who wants to make a career is so obsessed with them doing well, he leaves his practice. He's not making any money. He's not taking any other cases. He's not working on anything else.
He wins the case. He says it's his first case.
His first trial case. Yeah, he wins his first case, and apparently he believes that if he doesn't keep these guys, you know, out of jail, that somehow his practice is ruined. Meanwhile, he's not taking on any other clients. He doesn't.
No, but it's
like
not his responsibility. It's like, okay, I got you off.
Yeah, once the check clears, you're done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Assuming there's a check, but like,
it would be like if I got somebody off for murder. And then they murdered somebody else. It's like, well, that's not my problem. I did my job.
Yeah. And let's face it. Let's bring it home a little bit more. Scott, you get up on stage. You do your thing. If I'm next and I tank, that's not on you.
No.
You did your job.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm just going to say the DA is so hyper-focused, too.
That's my point. Makes no sense. Both of them.
Oh, make sure that if they cross the street, not at a crosswalk, to get them. And I'm like, relax. They're a biker gang.
Yeah.
They're going to fuck up. They're going to get caught.
They're a bunch of lovable fuckers.
So closely
means
that you won't catch them because this is an 80s movie and I know how this works. But
that's what I'm saying, Derek, is that if they go to jail, one guy wins. If they stay out of jail, the other guy wins. What they win, you know, it's... I don't know. Yeah. It just leads to further success for their careers, and they are hyper invested in this.
But 10 minutes later, they leave the county, so they've already fucked up.
They've already broken. So they're heading to Vegas, and they just randomly stop at a
strip club.
Strip club. Yep.
And the sign is. And by the way, there's Confederate. They're in California, but there's Confederate flags everywhere. In this movie,
I take
that's why I question.
That's like a trope. If you're a biker bang, if you're a biker gang, you have to have a Confederate flag, even if you're in California.
Yeah.
Do you think that might have been an Easter egg because Catherine Bach is in this movie?
You know
it's
what?
1990, dude.
That,
there was no Easter eggs in 1990.
Okay, sorry. Homage to the Duke Boys, you know.
That's the thing they make a big deal about is it's. They keep constantly making reference to the fact that it's 4th of July weekend. But that means nothing.
Except a bunch of the cops are on holiday. That's the only thing that it matters later in the movie. The old
bunch of cops in a small podunk town. So
yeah.
Four guys have the day off.
Yeah. They're at the cottage. You know, that's about it.
So they stop at this strip club and there's a woman, she's doing her 4th of July strip, so she's throwing firecrackers. This is one of those where, if you're going to have a strip club scene, they don't show any boobs. It's If you're going to have a strip club scene, you're going to show boobs.
Mostly do.
Or don't at all. And here's what I mean. At the party scene earlier, there's a woman who has her tits out the entire time. She's in two scenes, very like sort of background, and it's just boobs. She just kind of walks by topless. And so for some reason, that's okay. But then when we're at a strip club, we're not going to show anything. At a strip club. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's weird that, and also not to mention, hey, YouTube, you got boobs. All right, there you go. Like, it's on. Yeah.
So this is on YouTube. It's been on YouTube for 10 years. And the way, and it's spelled Masters of Mency. Whoever put this up spelled Menace wrong.
Have you checked out the videos of the guy that put it up on YouTube?
I haven't.
I have. I'm not surprised it's misspelled. Sure.
But yeah, so it's been up for 10 years, and it's Masters of Mency. So if you're looking for this movie on YouTube. But during this stop at the strip club, Squishy starts eating all these deviled eggs that are on the bar. Turns out these eggs have been expired.
Why are they out?
Why are they out? It's like, oh, somebody else goes to eat them. Oh, these eggs have been expired for a while. If you eat them, it'll give you the shits for a week.
All right.
This
is where we pick up not Margot Robbie.
Yes.
Sunny.
One of the waitress, Sunny the waitress is just like, oh, I'm just here. She does this exposition dump. Yeah. I'm here to pay off for I got a boob job. So I used all my money to get a boob job so I can get into Hollywood. And then Horny Hank. It's just like, well, we're going to Vegas.
Well, no, she got a boob job so that she could make some money stripping in order to make it to Hollywood.
She sold her car to get the boob job so she could, yeah.
She had this plan. I picture her like Charlie Day in front of a, like a pin board, you know. Like,
yeah.
Okay, first I sell the car. I use that money to just get my boob job. And then I get become a stripper, and I make money doing that, and then I go to Hollywood, and then equals profit. You know, that's her plan.
I have it laid out as like car equals boobs equals $$$$ equals Hollywood. Like he equals a Hollywood star. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's the
yeah
yeah.
But that's it. We only stop at this place to pick her up.
But they are being followed. The spy, you know, the spy follows them.
Yeah,
this guy is fucking weird.
He calls his boss, and the boss is going to get a SWAT team there. He's like, keep him there. Well, the biker gang finds out that he's there, and two of the fattest, unseductiest bikers sneak up and kidnap him. They hang him upside down in the bathroom. We don't know that yet, but we're going to find out.
Yeah.
They hang him upside. So all the bikers leave. After they leave, the FBI, whatever, they show up and they find that their spy is hanging upside down in the biker room. And he's like, well, I heard him say that they're going to Vegas. It's like, okay, well, that's very convenient. Sloppy writing, but yeah. Okay.
What I like is it reinforces a now old standard for SWAT teams in the U.S., from what I've observed. You have two types. You have your heavily armored and your lightly armored. Heavily armored, of course, you got your flak jackets, helmets, goggles, the whole thing. Lightly armored, windbreaker. You got a windbreaker and a shotgun. Yeah. Now you are on the team. Yeah. One can stop bullets. The other can stop a light breeze. That's the difference in funding, I guess.
It's the difference between protest and white collar takedown.
And what? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Running and just strolling in to enforce the law. Yeah.
So they drive a little more and they stop for dinner at this family restaurant.
Billy Bob. And as soon as I saw him, I went, oh no. Oh no. We're gonna get Scott canceled.
but while they're driving, they drive through this little podunk town, and there's this old sheriff out there with a rocket car.
I know. This thing's wild.
Got his speedometer, what is it, a radar detector out.
Radar gun, yeah.
radar gun, and the biker gang zooms past him, and they're doing like 95 or whatever, and he peels out to catch him, and he immediately crashes his car.
Well, it's no wonder the hood scoop on that thing is huge. How the hell do you see anything? Like, I bet you it's got power for days, but you can't see where you're going.
Plus, he needs a phone book to sit on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He can't see over that.
He's not a tall man, yeah.
So now they're at the restaurant, and they're like, it's a 35-minute wait. And then we get this scene of everybody in the lobby just running out. So
we get a Benny Hill
scene.
Benny Hill.
This gang has intimidated everybody until eventually they're the only people in the restaurant.
Yeah, well, they basically go up to people's tables and go, hey, we need to borrow your table. And then they just up and leave.
Yeah, can we sit here? And yes, because they leave, yeah.
Yeah. I did like the ordering in this one. He's like, okay, we'll get eight of these. We'll get eight of these. And he says, oh, we'll get some of these. And this is the menu item, literally verbatim. The spicy, spicy burn yourself for sure. I'm not even sure what kind of a food it is. It's just called spicy, spicy burn yourself for sure. And he goes, we'll get eight of that. And then, drinks. And then he turns to, I think he calls him Fatty? Or
Fat Frank. Frank or,
Fat Frank. Frank. And he goes, Fat Frank, he says, yeah, give me one of those too. I'm like, okay, that's funny. He just ordered a bunch of food, and Frank's going, yeah, I'll have the lot.
Yeah, me too. He's like, yeah, I'll have that too. Yeah, I thought that was good. I got a laugh out of that.
I got a laugh out of me.
I do
now,
like the names.
All this. When they pull up to the restaurant, Squishy, who had eaten up all those eggs, he's like, oh, man, I got to go. So he runs in. He's got the shits, so he's got to run in. He goes to the bathroom.
Well, his name is actually...
That's going to be important later.
According to IMDb, his name is Squirt, so I guess he retroactively is living up to his name. Yeah, that's what we have. Horny Hanks, Fat Frank, Lazy Larry, Sloppy Joe. I like that one. And then... But what's Roy Boy? What's a Roy Boy? I don't know. Like,
I don't want to ask.
I don't want to ask. Yeah.
So they're eating, and then the sheriff finally shows up, and he's like, "I want to see everybody. I'm here to bust everybody. I need everybody to leave. Stand outside by your bicycle or your motorcycles. You got to stand out by your motorcycles, and I'm going to issue every single one of you a citation."
Yeah,
buddy, he's like, you know what? Maybe we should just go. You know, maybe we should just go.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get up and go? and it takes the gang like several minutes, and they're like, oh, yeah, maybe we should just go.
So now our lovable losers have now basically broken poor Billy Bob's business here, because they drove out all the paying customers, ate a bunch of food, or threw it around the room, and then left.
Well, and they even say, as they're walking out the door, I guess nobody's paying.
Yeah, the lawyer, has anyone paid? And they're like, never mind.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so they walk out of the restaurant, and then lock, because apparently in this restaurant, the door locks from the
outside.
They're able to outside. I mean, without keys, they were able to lock.
Well, don't they slide something into the doors?
They don't. It's not shot well enough to know that. Like, we don't get an exterior of him putting a broom through the door or whatever.
But then he looks through the window and he's like, and he just keeps waving for like an uncomfortable long amount of time.
I thought it was so long. I thought basically he was barring the door. Fat Frank was just going to, you know, because he's so fat. Ha ha ha. You know, the obesity in this biker gang. My goodness.
None of these guys are living past 45.
No.
Oh, no.
No. They got a shelf with insulin on it, like in the clubhouse for whoever needs it.
So they all drive away, but Squirt was in the bathroom because he had the squirts. And he walks out and he's like, where'd everybody go? And then the sheriff pulls a gun on him and it's like, well, you're coming with me.
If I may, Scott, we didn't say grace before our podcast. So if I may just take a moment, I'm sorry. Bless our bikes, bless our food. Hope our old ladies are in the mood. Amen. All right, thank you. Thank you. I just had to.
Now, here's the deal. Only at this point, only two of them have old ladies.
Well, three hopefully, because Horny Hank's moving in on Sunny.
Horny Hank, yeah.
But she did accept his sweatshirt.
Show us your boobs. Show us your boobs or show us your tits. One of the two.
Show us your tits. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Show us your tits.
He has a bunch of horny themed shirts. And she even points it out like, wow, you take this horny thing really seriously. And all he retorts is, yeah, well, you got to take it seriously. Like they couldn't write anything.
Well, being on brand wasn't there yet, so.
No, yeah, yeah, exactly. You got to, yeah. No, that's true.
Apparently it was only supposed to be a 5-hour drive, but now they stop again at another bar.
Another strip club, I think. Isn't it?
No, this was just a bar.
Oh, straight up bar? Okay.
This was just a bar.
And they just walk in and go, should we start a fight? Let's start a fight. I want to start a fight.
Let's not start a fight. So, Buddy, he's going to try to hustle this guy at pool. This guy is much better at pool than he is. At this point, we find out that Buddy's wife is pregnant. She tells the other woman in
yes.
the gang.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm pregnant. Because all this time, she's been trying to convince Buddy to give up the biker life. Let's buy a house. Let's get a white picket fence. And he's like, no. I'm king of the road. We're not going to do that. Maybe in a couple of years we might do that. But right now. So she's trying to get him to settle down because she is pregnant.
By the way, this guy that he gets into the pool game with, not for nothing. This guy's got like Captain America strength. He's picking up guys one-handed and launching them across the room. I don't know how they got into a fight with Captain America. Like, like this guy should have cleaned the floor with all of them. He can pick one of them up and just throw them across the room with his left hand. He does it. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, when did they get into the superhero movie?
Yeah, this is where I started getting the Porky's feel to it.
So they start the bar fight. And then during the bar fight, this is where they realize that Squirt is missing. Because evidently Squirt, he carries a camera around his neck. And he's always taking pictures. So one of the guys is beating another guy up. He's like, hey, Squirt, take a picture of this. And then he's looking around like, where's Squirt? I don't know where Squirt is. This is how tight this band, this is how tight this biker gang is. They realize that one of their members is missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do not give a shit about Squirt.
Well, it's because he doesn't drive.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He doesn't have a driver's license.
Which means the person, which makes it even worse because he rides in a side cart, which means the person who's driving the bike with a side cart didn't realize that there wasn't a person next to him.
But I think that's the guy that's like super high all the time. Isn't it the long-haired guy that's just constantly?
No, the long-haired guy doesn't drive either. He's always in the back of the truck.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
And the long-haired guy was, and I recognized him, he was Weird Al Yankovic's sidekick in UHF.
No way.
Really? Like his best friend?
His best friend in UHF. That's who this guy was.
Huh.
And by the way, he's got a killer mullet skullet.
He does.
Oh, yeah. That guy. Yeah, he's going bald.
David
Retirement
Bowie.
Home in the front, party in the back.
Is it Sloppy Joe? It is Sloppy Joe. Holy shit, he was in The Rock, he was in Cable Guy, he was in Transformers.
Yeah, yeah. He's been in everything.
No, he's a prolific character actor.
Wow, so I've definitely seen
like
this
said,
guy
this
a bunch.
Movie is not,
yeah.
This movie is not lacking talent.
Holy
bringing
shit,
it together.
This guy's got quite the IMDb.
Yeah. So they decide to go back and get Squiggy, or Squishy, Squishy? Squiggy?
Squirt.
Squirt.
So they go back to get Squirt. And the lawyer's like, let me handle this. I'll pay the fine and I'll get him out. And
yeah.
Buddy is
and
like,
they,
whatever you say, they, whatever you
they,
say.
They can't just leave it alone. They have to do it their way, so they break him out.
Yeah, even if the lawyer was successful in somehow getting him released legally, nope, they're just going to tie some bed sheets that we have no idea where they came from. Scott, maybe you can answer this one as a, you know, purveyor and observer of wild mattresses. Are there ever any sheets just lying around on the mattresses you find out and about?
They probably got the sheets from Squiggy. They probably passed them out through the sheets that were on the bed.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the jailhouse sheets. Okay.
Now, the fact that those sheets, I don't think those sheets would have held.
or be 50 fucking feet.
Yeah, long. Yeah. I was going to say, how many beds are in that cell?
Yeah.
So the lawyer goes in to talk to Squirt, and while they're doing this, the biker gang has tied the sheets to the window. While they're breaking him out, the prosecutor, he shows up. You know, he's demanding the bike gang. He's like, I've only got one. He's like, I'll take him one at a time. And while they're having this back and forth, the biker gang has pulled. Three things are happening at one time.
Well, they pull the thing out, and he goes, wow, isn't it amazing that earthquake only happens in the back of the jail?
Right.
He's like, where's my suspect? In the back of the jail.
But while this is happening, the sidekick is in a car dialing a phone sex number and listening to a man seduce a dog.
You've dialed 976 SEKS, your hot sex line. Press 1 for hot lesbian love under the sun. Press 2 for male dominance. Press 3 for animal sex. Press 4 for... You press 3 for animal sex.
No price for watching my dog while I'm out of town, huh?
Nope, no problem.
Okay, so long, Shep. See you next week.
Hi, Shep. You're a good doggy, aren't you? Wanna go for a walk? I'll wear the collar this time, huh? Good. You've got a bone of your own.
That is so fucking weird. What the hell?
Yeah. Why?
What?
I don't know.
What?
And then the two fat guys come up and attack him again, right?
Attack him again and kidnap again. So when they spring
Squirt.
Who cares? Squirt. They replace him with the spy who's spying on him. They've got him all tied up. So this is the second time that they were able to sneak up on him and get the best of him.
This is like the assistant DA or something like that, right? Or is he
assistant DA?
Or assistant to the DA or whatever, right? Like he's
assistant to the prosecutor. The prosecutor who's
he's the DA anyway, though, isn't he? Yeah. Well, whatever.
He might. I don't know.
He's a lackey. He's just a lackey in this.
He's a lackey.
And and to your point, like it's not enough that he's just this bumbling lackey who keeps getting one over. Like they keep getting over on him. Now this weird sex line thing. Like, what the fuck is that for? I don't get it.
It's supposed to be funny.
I have a question. And maybe this is my lack of knowledge of the American judicial system. Is the DA not out of his jurisdiction at this point?
Yes, he is. But he's so obsessed with getting him.
Yeah, the district attorney is out of his district.
He wanted.
I don't know. Yeah,
80s, right. 80s,
yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
80s, okay. 90s, what?
Yeah, sure.
So they spring him, and they camp for the night.
Yeah.
The sun comes up in the morning, and now we see John Candy driving a beer truck, well, Beck's Beer.
They wake up to a familiar smell.
Yep.
They can smell
fucking
beer.
Down the road, in a truck, they smell beer.
They smell beer.
I like beer, but I'm not that good.
You know, John Candy's this lone truck driver. He's driving his beer, you know, listening to music. And they all hop on their bikes. And they take a scene right out of Vacation where Horny Frank or what is it? Horny Fred,
Horny
whatever.
Hank.
Horny Hank and the woman that they picked up. She's like showing John
Candy
her boobs. Sunny. And while they're distracting him, the biker gang hop on the truck, get into the truck.
Yeah, they climb onto the truck like they're the robots from iRobot going after Will Smith.
yeah, exactly. You know what? I gotta say, I'm actually kind of impressed with the sequence. There's no CG here. This wasn't done on a sound stage with computers. This is just a bunch of dudes on bikes and a truck, and they're climbing on, no cables or anything like that. Like, they are just...
And it is clearly stuntmen with voiceover. Clearly.
I know, but it's still impressive stunt work, what these guys did. You know what I mean?
It's supposed to be Buddy on top of the truck. with the wind going and everything else, and he's just climbed up and he's kind of breathing heavy, but you just hear Buddy go, "Okay, come on up."
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no wind, no nothing.
Yeah, yeah. There's just some loose,
I
like,
love the 80s. Movies,
there's some loose, like, grab the beer. I'll grab the beer. Yeah, grab the beer. You know.
Well, eventually they all start climbing into the cab with John Candy. And eventually they force John Candy, they throw him out on the side. And these are the people we're supposed to be rooting for.
Yeah!
They threw a man out of a moving truck going 65, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
They could have killed this man. And these are the heroes. These are the heroes.
Yeah. I did like the Candy and Sonny flirting back and forth. Because he's got that, it's that Candy charm. I had a moment. I was like, I miss you, man. Like,
I miss whenever you see John Candy, you miss John Candy because he's barely in this movie, but
his scenes really count. Yeah.
He steals it.
Yeah,
really count.
Yeah, yeah, they're really It's just something to watch because you know it's just like an afternoon in a Beck's truck, and the way he goes,
he's such a goofball too. Because he's like, oh, I bet those do well for you.
I know.
I see what you. You know that John Candy laugh.
That, yep.
John Candy charm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Love that guy.
He's not being pervy, but he's, you know, enjoying the view still, you know?
No.
Fun note. Sorry, Scott. I was just going to make a fun note. Bex at this point had not yet been purchased by Anheuser-Busch. So they're actually. It's not an American beer, which I thought that we would see. Budweiser, like apparently this is the beer company that actually was like where it was okay with them using their name. They couldn't get Anheuser-Busch to sign on, I guess, or you know.
I think they took what they could get,
and that's my point. Yeah, they got this German beer instead of like an American, or even, you know, you got John Candy behind the wheel, how about Molson Canadian, right?
Well,
they pull over with this beer truck and they unload the beer, and then they start, then we see this montage of beer drinking games.
Yeah.
And they're all slamming beers. And then we cut to John Candy just walking down the street with this lone beer. And it's just John Candy acting with himself, and it's hilarious. It's like, I got to come up with a plan on what. And the sheriff pulls up, the DA or whatever it is, he pulls up and he's like, "Yeah, aliens. It was biker aliens that came in." It's like, it's just a very short, funny scene, just John Candy showing off his
head. Yeah, the weird part for me, though, is when he gets launched from the truck, he's not holding a six-pack, like they imply. And none of the beer fall. They don't throw any beer off the truck, so where did that six-pack come from? He's got the can holders, and it looks like he's on the last of a six-pack that he drank. And out in that heat, that would get you tanked, actually. Like, sun drunk is a real thing. Take it from a guy who's done it a couple times. Yeah, it doesn't take much when you're out in the sun like that. So he would get drunk off a six-pack, but where did it come from? It's not like they're like, "Hey, here's one for the road, buddy," you know, which could have been funny, you know.
Well, they don't show it, but they probably could have.
Yeah, yeah.
They stole the truck.
Yeah.
But now the DA is upped his game because now he's got a helicopter.
Oh.
And he asks if he has any napalm on board. Napalm?
This is
we're gonna burn
these
out.
Bikers.
Well,
napalm.
We were 15 years out from Vietnam, which napalm played a big part in. If those movies are to tell me anything, yeah. So, but holy, like, this guy escalates though. To your point, Derek, this guy escalates big time. He's got a machine gun out. He opens fire just at random at these dudes and ladies,
and hits one person once.
Yeah. He's a terrible shot.
He's a terrible shot with a fucking machine gun.
Well, I can't believe I'm going to defend this, but, you know, that's my thing. Apparently, the helicopter pilot calls him out and says, "I thought you were just going to scare them," meaning that I think he was meaning to shoot wild and purposely not hit them. So I guess he is a terrible shot because he didn't mean to hit anybody, but he hit somebody. He's a terrible shot.
I think he meant to hit them. And he did.
Well, no, he calls them out. I thought we were just scaring them because the idea was to flush them out to the trap where the guy on the ground was going to have a corral waiting for them, right? He was going to use the helicopter to drive him a certain way. So he was just shooting at the ground to get him up and on the road. That's how I read that scene anyway, because just because of what the helicopter pilot
says.
There's
no doubt in my mind that he would have shot them.
Yeah, so either he's a bad shot because he hit somebody when he didn't mean to, or he's a bad shot because he meant to hit him and he only hit one guy.
But this leads to my favorite conversation in the entire movie, and it was just a, what the fuck are you talking about? So they have the truck, and they're like, he said, somebody says, what do you have in the truck? He's like, oh no, this is later on, sorry.
This is later on.
Yeah, it's later on.
So they all scatter, and they all, you know, they all get out of there.
They all meet up with the clubhouse, this longstanding clubhouse, right?
Right, and then that's where Dan Aykroyd finally shows up.
I was wondering when we were going to get to him, because I was like, I don't know, Dan Aykroyd's in this movie. Wait, where?
Yes, he shows up, and he is this. He used to be a member of the gang, and now he's the stuntman. He's like this. He's like a this evil Knievel type. And yeah. The gag is, he's hurt himself so much that he travels with his own. He travels with his own chiropractor, George Wendt.
Yeah.
And this is when this is when George Wendt Cheers was still on the air at this time.
Oh, this fucking scene.
And Dan Aykroyd gets off the bike, and you hear his bones crunching.
Johnny.
Buddy, I can't believe you're still riding with the Roadmasters. Hey,
I can't believe you're still in one piece. You crazy son of a bitch. Fellas. Look over here. I want you to meet the co-founder of the Roadmaster Cycle Club, Johnny Lewis.
Hey, Johnny. All right. Shit, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Boy, all right, Johnny. So what have you been doing all these years, huh?
Well, I just got back from jumping the Mayan pyramids. It was a closed circuit, pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to meet my chiropractor, Dr. Jack Earhart.
Jack Earhart, hang on.
Oh! Well, that's actually better.
Uh-huh. He's the master manipulator, this guy, let me tell you.
Johnny, I want you to meet Kitty, huh? Kitty, Johnny, Johnny, Kitty, Johnny.
Kitty.
Kitty, Johnny.
Hi. All right. Wow.
Yes, she's my wife.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I need this guy with me all the time now. When you hold as many jump records as I do, you wind up with more screws and bolts in you than the Golden Gate Bridge.
He really should retire.
Doc, you know, I think I'm walking on a screw.
In your shoe?
In my foot. Probably fell out of my ankle. Oh! Oh, that's better. What are you doing around here anyway? The old haunt.
Yeah. Well, this judge told us we weren't allowed to leave the county for 3 years, but we got to bury our brother, right?
I see that.
Yeah, now we got this asshole DA chasing us, and he just shot my ass.
You better have that wound attended to. He's a great horse surgeon. Doc, take a look.
No. No doctors.
Gee, look at you. Running from the law on the 4th of July weekend.
Buddy's been shot, so every time they hug, it's like,
That joke went on forever.
The reunion, though, you have the two guys, I guess, you know, middle-aged guys walking toward each other. One has a shot leg, the other one, everything else is shot, so to speak.
Why is Buddy's whole body hurting? Like, he was just shot in the leg. How does a hug hurt that?
I don't know.
Apparently it does.
And why is Dan Aykroyd driving the bike? What's the 18-wheeler for? Right, why isn't the bike in the back and then Aykroyd in the cab with George?
Well, he's got a whole gym in there, because they talk about it later. He's talking about
you got a Stairmaster,
my massage table and a Stairmaster and everything else. So
it's a chiropractor's truck.
Like the whole time, like I guess Dan Aykroyd used to be a part of the gang and he got out. George Wendt is constantly pulling and shaking his hand and pulling on his arm, and you hear the post-production cracks that they put in that's obviously in post-production. It sounds like it's coming from out of the scene, not in the scene.
Just off camera, there's a guy cracking like...
Some guy's got a whole bunch of water bottles just right under the... Crick.
Yeah, the off-screen Foley work. And first of all, why don't you have the guy from Cheers driving the beer truck? I don't know. All my love for Candy, but...
And Dan Aykroyd says, you know, oh, you got shot. My guy's practically a doctor. He can do it. He's no
doctors.
That's not the way we do it. Like, he's not a real doctor. And he's technically a part of your gang.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a surgeon. Like, don't worry about it.
You were just in the truck bleeding out so much you were starting to see things.
Yeah.
Then you magically got better because Dan Aykroyd showed up. Now you're going to go back into the truck and drink moonshine, I guess. I don't know.
So Sonny invites Dan back to the house. He's like, Dan's like, I got to go jump the...
He's going to Vegas.
He's going to Vegas to jump something. It's like, I'll meet you back. They're going to meet back up later.
I think jumping the fountains at the Bellagio or something.
Yes, yeah, fountains at the Bellagio. It.
So now we cut. Once again, they're back in the park, and now they're going to perform surgery on Buddy. The gang is. So so Buddy's drunk, and he's biting on a screwdriver, and they pull out a pair of pliers.
Vice grips, yeah.
Vice grips. Yeah. One of the biker gang just pulls the bullet out of his leg, because once you get the bullet out, you're fine. No risk of infection. You don't need to seal the wound in any way.
A dirty vice grip. It's
No. He dipped it into the top of the alcohol bottle. He didn't pour alcohol on it. He does some little, like, where he's holding the bottle and he's just like I watched him do it, like, sanitize. He just puts like one end of it and like just right around the lip, though, because I'm like, okay, that did nothing.
And then this is where they all drink, I assume, Barbicide. You know, the stuff usually used to clean combs?
At the beginning of the movie, this guy made a drink, and he put Windex in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they pass this jug around, this magic elixir or whatever it is, and everybody starts drinking it. Everybody gets, you know, they start freaking out.
A bear vision!
It's basically like they've done mushrooms. Like it's I don't know why they didn't just skip to mushrooms, but I guess they wanted to stay away from that. So instead, it's just severe alcohol.
So they all have the same vision, and it's a bear with the voice of Gypsy.
Okay, so that was Belushi.
Belushi. I missed that totally.
I thought so. Yeah. I thought so. Okay.
The bear tells Buddy, "It's like you're having a midlife crisis. You gotta settle down." He's telling the lawyer, "You're a lawyer. You can help people. Stop being a pussy."
Yep.
Well, he tells Buddy that he finally reveals to Buddy that he's going to be a father.
No. She did it in the truck to distract him after he got shot.
No, but he wasn't listening.
He wakes him up with like, "No, dude, you are going to have a baby." Like, he already heard that from his wife, but he gets the wake up call.
Yeah, well, he was thinking there were song lyrics, right? It's like, "Oh, you're having my baby." It's like, "Oh, this
is a Little Richard or whatever." Yeah. You know what? I'd have a beer with a bear. I think it'd be fun, unless they get all preachy like this one does. Like, way to be a fucking buzzkill, man. Jeepers cripes! They're just trying to have a good time and recover from bullet wounds.
You're harshing my buzz.
Yeah. They get all real and shit. Like, that's. I don't want to be that. I don't want that guy at the party. You know.
So they wake up the next morning, the lawyer rips off
his sleeves.
Sleeves.
Oh, yeah, so what happens is, Aykroyd and George Went, they're driving to Vegas, they see the roadblock, it's like, "Oh, it's for Buddy, we gotta turn around and warn Buddy." So they head back, they warn Buddy, and then they have this conversation of, you know, what are we going to do? That's where we find out that there's a Stairmaster in the back of his truck.
Oh, yes. "What do you have in your truck? Stairmaster. That's not going to help. What else? Lots of stuff. Now we're talking."
I have an idea.
And now we get the Animal House montage of when they were building the float. That's basically what happens here. They're fortifying the bus.
If I may, to me, it was an A-team montage. You know, when they weld shit to their van to make it stronger so they can get the job done. To me, this was a total Mr. T with the goggles and the welding torch out. Yes. Same thing. Yeah.
So the next morning, they're driving down and Dan is in front on a motorcycle. And then behind them is the bus. It's fortified. One of the things in the truck was apparently a fireworks launcher.
I guess, yeah.
Of course it was.
Or a cannon. So Dan, he jumps the roadblock, and you hear him go, "New world record!"
And oddly enough, no cracking when he lands. I thought there'd be a distinct, none. like, when he lands, you know?
Yeah.
But the bus shoots the roadblock. Oh, and also we need to go back. Not the DA. Who's what's he running? Anyway,
the Attorney General, the AG.
The Attorney General calls the district attorney and says, "What the fuck are you doing? You can't take all these people to stop this gang. I want you to decease right now. Tell everybody to go home." And then the DA gets off the phone and says, "Oh, the district attorney wants us to keep doing this." So he's gone off the deep end right now, trying to catch this motorcycle gang.
Well, opening fire up from a helicopter, I think, is when he started getting off the deep end. No offense, but but you're
that may be where you lost it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, and let's not. It's not a bus, Scott. No. They basically have stolen and now are just keeping this beer truck. It's the Beck's truck.
It's the beer truck. You are right.
They
fortify the beer truck.
It's just theirs now. They took it from John Candy, and they're not giving it back. So, our heroes.
Yeah.
But yeah, they blow through the blockade quite easily.
And then that's the end of Dan and George. They're like, they wave goodbye. It's like, we've helped you through the roadblock. Our work is done.
Yeah. I gotta go jump a fountain in Vegas.
They finally get to Gypsy's home. They walk this casket up to the door and knock on the door. And this big black man's like, oh, you know, he's there with a shotgun. He's
Do I look like the Wilsons to you? Or whatever.
Yeah, Leibowitzes or whatever, yeah.
Leibowitzes. Do I look like a Leibowitz to you? And they moved out 3 years ago. They moved to Ohio.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Like, I rented my current...
Yeah, I don't...
Like, the place I'm in now, I have no idea where the previous tenant is.
And then we get a shot of Gypsy's head. Apparently, they got to Ohio. They put the body... They gave the body to him.
Yeah.
You see a headstone for Gypsy.
They yada 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 the whole trip to Ohio.
They yada 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 the whole because then we cut back to the present, and they've had the baby. The baby is
Harley.
Harley, I don't know.
Yeah,
of course it is. Because of course it is.
One or two.
Baby's one. Yeah.
So that's the whole device of this movie, because we do get a bit of narration at the beginning. And now we're getting some more at the end. So the whole framing device is he's actually telling his one-year-old the story about when your mom was pregnant with you or something. And this one last adventure we went on for Gypsy.
Which, if you think about it, contains a lot of references to fucking his mother.
Yeah. A lot. And other people wanting to fuck his mother. Because Dan Aykroyd... When he gets his eyeballs full of Catherine Bach, he lights up.
Yeah.
And then it's like, my wife, oh, hey, oh, sorry, whoa, whoa. Like, it was like, if it's just your old lady, can I get in there for a sec? But, oh, it's your wife. Yeah. Oh, no, you're serious. Okay, well, never mind then. You know, like, kind of a weird exchange.
It's like, well, then I told your mom that if there's, hey, is the backyard open?
Yeah.
which is a reference to anal. And
it's a big backyard, he says.
It's a big backyard. I said, is there bushes in that yard? Which I didn't quite understand.
I don't know.
Well, he goes to order some chili cheese fries, and of course the DA is now working, because that's how it works. When you lose your job as the DA, you go into fast food.
You're now at a hot dog stand or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yes. The DA's boss is this teenager, and that's
you
how
give
it
him
ends.
Two free drinks and blah
yes.
blah blah.
And that's how it ends,
and it's also his responsibility to clean up their bike.
Well, it's the toy. It's the toy one. It's the one that's there for the kids to ride on. It's part of the restaurant. So yeah.
Oh! I thought you meant like the kid pooped on his bike.
No! It's that little toy one there. You put a quarter
but
in.
Then, much like Animal House, we get the end of we get the freeze frame with the text, you know, Buddy still hasn't painted his house. So that's another.
Yeah, you get the
montage,
Animal House. Yeah.
I would say ripoff of Animal House.
Yeah. The where are they now? The lawyer, I guess, kept lawyering.
Joined the gang. Yeah. Yeah. And he got them. He got their. They did go to court, but he got them down to 10,000 hours of community service.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they did anyway, because...
Why would they?
Why would they? They've ignored every other thing.
That's still,
and that's it. That's the movie. That's Masters of Menace. And I have to agree with Derek. This is a nothing burger.
It's just the even the title doesn't make sense.
No,
because there's no menacing.
Well, I mean, they menace at the restaurant. They, you know, there's
no, but there's no menacing. It's not. Urgh, everybody runs. It's just, hey, we're bikers, and everybody runs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, there's no menacing. They're the Roadmasters.
First of all, better title, by the way. They should have just called the movie Roadmasters.
Absolutely.
Roadmasters is a much better title.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, just to button up the end there, there is no way in hell if I see that's the guy making my food, honey, we're going to a different restaurant. I'm not eating anything that guy prepares. Are you kidding me? God knows what's going to be in that burger or that chili fries. You know what I mean? Like, good God. Who put Javex in there? You stupid.
Yeah, no, this.
And the assistant DA, his little, where are they now? He's running an illegal dog farm somewhere. Like, what?
Puppy mill.
A puppy mill. Sorry, yeah, puppy mill. That guy gets
which
to
I
get.
Think might have. So, which I think is a callback. I think he's grooming the dogs to have sex with them because remember the phone sex?
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So he's raising puppies to have sex with. That's the joke.
I know, shouldn't have been, he was arrested for running an illegal puppy mill, maybe, so, like...
Yes, that's where you want to go.
You know what, we're leaving this on a weird note. This guy's just out there doing that, actively, right now? Is that what we're saying? Buddy's painting a house and settling down?
Free.
Yeah. What movie? What are you doing? Why did you let this one get away?
That's what the official song of this movie should be, is Great Big Seas
Consequence Free. Because
there's no consequences for anything in this movie.
I can't recommend this movie. It's free on YouTube, and it's been there for 10 years. And as I said before, I just picked this. I knew nothing about this movie. I just knew that Dan was in it, and then I found out that Jim Belushi and John Candy and George Wendt were in it. Once I looked at the cast, it's like I knew these people. But this is one of the things where the parts are much better than the whole, because this is...
Well, I guess it's a product of its time. Like you said, you had like Animal House, Blues Brothers, Porky's. That was the time of the gross out 80s comedies.
Well, no, so those were like those were like early 80s, and this was like it missed its it's 10 years late. It missed its it missed its window. And especially with Animal House, they went the full, like, if you're going to be gross, do gross. If you're going to...
Yeah.
This movie sort of played it safe. You don't get really, like I said, if you're going to show strippers, have tits. If you're going to go full out with that.
By 1990, the biker theme was gone. It should have been... Yes. There should have been a beach comedy, because that was big at the time. Baywatch. You know, Thunder in Paradise, that kind of thing, American Gladiators. That should have been your goal in this movie, but you want to make a biker movie. Fine.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd, I don't know if I buy him as a daredevil.
No.
Because he's still pudgy Dan Aykroyd. You know what I mean? He still has the Ghostbusters weight.
John Candy is the best part of this movie.
He
might have, like, he has less than 5 minutes of screen time.
Yeah,
he is the best part of this movie.
Absolutely. Even the Belushi stuff was like, well, it was okay. Like the mechanic who keeps dropping things, but
yeah, because it's an iPad.
They only give him 5 minutes, right? So
they only give him 5 minutes.
Yeah, Aykroyd gets more than that,
which is
though.
Fine, I think.
Aykroyd and Wendt get most out of the guest stars. They get most screen time.
I think it would have been a bit better if Gypsy was in. Was with the gang in court, though, as part of, like, introducing... Because that's what they use... The judge basically introduces us to the cast right at the beginning. All rise, and then he does a roll call. Sloppy Joe and Lazy Larry and whatever.
Yeah, but Gypsy dies 2 minutes after.
But I think to make him more part of the gang, right? If he was there at the trial and then he dies, he's... It's weird that they
played it off pretty well.
But I don't know. It felt weird that he felt disconnected from the gang, but now the rest of the movie hangs on getting him home.
They probably couldn't get him.
You're right. Yeah. That would have been like an
who
extra
was the
day.
Singer, by the way.
Hmm?
Does anyone know who the singer was? I tried looking it up.
I have seen him before. I tried looking it up too. I've seen him before. The biker who's singing.
Yeah, it's Roy Boy, yeah. Lee Ving, and his IMDb says he was frontman for a seminal LA hardcore punk band, Fear.
His name is Lee Ving?
Yep.
Okay. Now we have a connection. Fear was the band that John Belushi tried to get on Saturday Night Live, and he got on Saturday Night Live, and they trashed the set. So there is a connection. John Belushi, at the end of his life, really got into punk, and he was really into the band Fear. And he wanted Fear to do a song on the soundtrack of Neighbors. And he got him on Saturday Night Live, and they fucked up. So there is a connection between that guy and people in this movie.
Yeah, Jim. Yeah, your SNL players like Jim Belushi and, or Aykroyd.
Jim Belushi and Aykroyd.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He knew John, right? So like Lee Ving probably knew, he knew John Belushi. So there you go.
And they were on the Warped Tour. Wow.
All right. Well, that's it. So I'm taking it you guys wouldn't recommend this movie.
I wouldn't search it out, but I mean, if you're on the couch and you can't reach the remote on a lazy Sunday afternoon, you could do worse. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Not much. You could do worse, as in Rocktopussy, but...
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You guys are definitely right. This came along... I think it basically came along in the sunset years of the 80s boob comedy, and then just cribbed from all of it. They saw what was good and popular then, like your Porky's and Animal House, and just cribbed from it, but in a midlife crisis biker game movie. So I mean, there's a lot better out there. The only thing that I enjoyed about this movie was the cameos, was the surprising amount of talent in this movie. Like you said, like this roster is deep, but it's. The movie itself is just so slapdash. It seems like a project for having a project. Make work project.
Yeah. Everyone got paid. That's probably the best thing about this movie.
Yeah. And probably decently as well. Like, I think this probably got sold with this kind of cast. It probably got sold pretty well to a distributor. And then that's where it fell. You know, like, that's why no one's heard of it.
Derek, you brought up Rockabilly. Rock.
Rocktopussy.
Rocktopussy, yeah.
Tell us about your podcast and bring that up.
Yeah, that's on our Or Is It podcast. Scott joined us for Rocktopussy, which is on Amazon in the States, about a giant underground octopus that's going to take over a small northern Ontario town. So you can find that there. For us, we also do film studies. We're going to be seeing Barbie and Oppenheimer and all the big summer movies coming out. So.
So thank you, Scott, for being on our podcast for a definitely a decidedly Canadian movie, Canadian made movie for sure, with Rocktopussy. And thanks for having us on for this movie that come out of nowhere with some of Canada's best. So we appreciate you inviting us on. Yeah.
CanadianMovieCrew.com.
There we go.
Yes. All right. That's it. I want to thank Mark and Derek. Thank you guys for being on the show. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And we'll see everybody here next time on the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
What am I going to do? What the hell am I going to do? I was robbed. It wasn't my fault. It's not like I lost an entire beer truck. It was stolen from me. Yeah, but a good captain always goes down with his beer truck. Oh, who's going to believe me? That's it. I'll come up with a better story. Yeah. And nobody will be mad at me. That's what I'll do. I'll figure it out now.
Two out of them. I'm 2 miles east on Verdugo Crest. They're coming your way. Move, Dick.
Roger, sir. We're moving south on County Highway.
Car number one. Contact car number three. Car number one.
Ah!
Oh, no.
What in the hell are you doing out here walking down the middle of the road?
Come on, pull yourself together. What is your name?
Name's Lloyd. Lloyd Kukla. Everybody knows that. Lloyd, you've been drinking.
You don't understand. I didn't have any food. I had to drink the beer. I had to drink it in order to survive.
How long have you been wandering around here?
A couple hours.
You can't die of malnutrition in a couple of hours. No, sir. You're shit-faced.
Look, I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you everything. Now, I don't know where they came from, but there were hundreds of them, maybe more, and they came swooping down out of the sky.
Wait a minute. You trying to tell me you was attacked by aliens?
Yeah. Motorcycle alien guys. There were motorcycle alien guys.
You tell me all about it.
I'm telling you the truth. Come on. They were little guys with bug eyes. And then there was a big guy, but I don't know if he was an alien or not.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.
Hey, buddy, buddy, wake up!
Johnny! Oh, Johnny, what are you doing here, man?
Listen,
wait, buddy, I'm gonna have a baby. I'm gonna have a baby! Oh, Kitty, I'm gonna have a buddy. Bobby, I'm gonna have a biker. I'm gonna have a baby.
Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Look, congratulations, but before she pops one out, listen. Trouble at Verdugo Crest.
Oh, my. What are you talking about?
Heat. What are you talking about? Heat. Thousands of state troopers, National Guard, they got a roadblock.
All right, that's Hoover. Look, you guys, get out of here. You got nothing to do with this. I don't want to get you guys into trouble.
No way, man. We're sticking with our bros.
Well, what are we gonna do?
Think. Buddy, remember 73? The run to Monterey?
Right.
They didn't want motorcycles in the city.
Right.
So they surrounded the whole place with cops.
Well, what happened?
We got arrested. They took our bikes.
6 months in jail. What a stinking little hellhole that was, too.
6 months. Ooh.
Oh, great. Thank you for sharing this story with us, Johnny.
All right, come on. Let's get it together here. Now, look. Hoover's way out of his territory. He doesn't belong here legally. Gypsy's almost home. We're real close to Vegas. Hey, it's the 4th of July. You want to have some fun? This is the land of the brave and the home of the free, huh?
About that home.
Oh, please, just for a minute.
I just want to know.
Okay, what do you got in the back of your truck?
We've got a Stairmaster.
For my knees.